My name is Marlon. Welcome to my podcast. This is Willing to Believe Part 2. This will be another mini episode as we're looking at the first chapter of Luke. It is Christmas season, it's December, and it just seems like the right thing to do to look at the birth of Jesus, and there's some great insights. Last time, we left you off with the thought that when we read the Bible, we're more likely to accept, to believe, to quote those parts of scriptures that affirm what we already believe. We love to look at the Bible and see in there what we already believe and then to use that and sort of stay where we are. But we saw how Zacharias had a hard time believing that God was going to do something amazing in his life. Even though he had been praying for it, even though he had spent his lifetime waiting for that promise to be fulfilled, he doubted that God could do it now in his old age. And sometimes we struggle with that. We think that God did things, great things in the Old Testament. Sure, he did it in Abraham's life and Sarah. Yes, they were old and they were able to have children. But Zacharias doubted that that could happen in his life. And now we're going to look at another story that's found right there in the first chapter of Luke, and this is the story of Mary. Now we're going to see her reaction when the angel Gabriel comes to speak to her. So if you have your Bible, I will invite you to open it to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at it, picking up the story with verse 26. And I'm reading from my Bible in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David." Now, this is important because the Messiah has to come from the house of David. It's interesting, though, that the Messiah comes from Mary, not from Joseph, but Joseph is the one that's, you know, from the house of David. So this is really the Son of God, but it's tied into the house of David through Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. So verse 28, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" Can you imagine this if you're Mary? I mean, women have been waiting to hear this message ever since Eve. Eve was the first one to expect to be the one to bear the Messiah. I mean, as I shared when we did our study in Genesis a few months back, I mean, when she had her first son, she was expecting to be a child from the Lord, or a child the Lord. You know, she was expecting that to be the seed, that to be the Messiah, that to be the one who would crush the head of the serpent. But it wasn't. So throughout the ages, through Abraham and then Jacob and Isaac and all that, Isaac and Jacob, we have it finally come down to Mary, and she is the one. "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her," this is verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold," verse 31, "you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is the prophecy. This is the Messiah. This is what they have been waiting for from the very beginning. Verse 34, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" Now, you could say this is similar to Zacharias' response when in chapter 1, verse 18, when Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." You could say that Mary's response here is very similar. Sure, you know, Abraham was able to have a child, but he was married. You know, he had a wife. Sure, Zacharias was able to have a child, you know, with Elizabeth. They were married. But Mary was still a virgin. And I think that this goes back to that same idea of how we read the Bible and certain parts stick and some parts we seem to go right through it, right by it without noticing. I mean, it had been prophesied that it would be the Messiah would be born of a virgin, but I guess the practical implication of it was, I mean, it boggles your mind, right? How could this be? And since Zacharias was, you know, mute until his son was born, because he questioned, maybe we expect something to happen to Mary, but there is a difference. Zechariah is an experienced priest, who's been waiting and praying and, you know, his whole life. Mary, as far as we know, as you know, the popular belief is, and historically we believe this to be accurate, she was a teenager. So it's interesting how God deals with people. You know, he deals with us depending on where we are in life. And his response to Mary is different. She's confused. She's like, well, I'm a virgin. You know, I don't know how this works, but I'm pretty sure you have to be married. I mean, there's certain things that should happen before I can bear a son. But look at verse 35. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Can you believe that? Can you believe that in your life, nothing is impossible with God? Can you believe that God is willing to do something through you, whether you're an older person who's been waiting your whole life for God to do something, or if you're a young person who's just coming into the faith, or maybe, you know, you're just sort of finding yourself as a person, your identity, who you are? Can you believe that God would do something amazing in your life? Do you really believe that with God nothing is impossible? Do you believe that our generation can be the one that will witness the second coming of Jesus, that we're the ones to go through the trouble, that we're the ones that are going to take the gospel to the whole world? Do you believe that you can play a role in that? Here we have earlier, you know, a couple that's elderly and that's past childbearing age, and they get to a visit from God in their old age. And here we have a teenager having a visit from God at the beginning sort of her adult experience, of her experiences as her own person. Verse 38, look at Mary's response. And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I think this is amazing. She didn't understand all the details. She didn't know exactly how it's going to happen, but she was willing to go through with it. I mean, the implications of having, of becoming pregnant outside of marriage, I mean, and the that back then could carry the death penalty. It's incredible to see how a girl that is so amazing that God chose her to bear the Messiah is willing to go through all the hardships that will come along with that pregnancy. And then just think about the responsibility. I have two children, and every now and then, pretty often, actually more often than I like to admit, I pray to God, begging for mercy, that he would not allow me to, you know, that I would not ruin my children, that he would give me wisdom to raise them properly, that I will know how to handle difficult situations and different situations, and how to raise them and teach them and encourage them to love God and to be honest and to share and to be, you know, good people. Can you imagine raising the Messiah? She's willing to do it. Maybe that's one of the advantages of teenagers or of young people. They're willing to take on an incredible task because really they don't know better. They have no experience. They don't know how hard it is. And sometimes because of our experience, or those who are even older, because they've struggled for so long, we can begin to doubt that God could really do something, that we could really be used. We become so familiar with our frailties and our shortcomings and our weaknesses that we begin to question if God could really do something in our lives. While we see Mary here, she does not question. She's curious at first, you know, just to clarify here, you know, I'm a virgin. But once God tells her that he's going to do it, she's like, okay, you know, may your will be done. And if we can have that faith to believe what God says, even if I don't understand all the details, but to believe and say, Lord, you know what? Your will be done in my life. Be with me and guide me and use me as you will to bring a great blessing to the world. If we can find ourselves there with Mary, I believe that God can do amazing things in our generation. I believe great things can happen, but we have to have that willingness that Mary had. We have to be able to read scriptures and allow the scriptures, the text, the Bible, to challenge us. Because maybe we become so comfortable with the things that we believe that God will do in our lives and the things that we doubt that He would do, that sometimes we don't realize the promises that are in there. We don't realize the prophecies. We don't realize the blessings. We don't realize the power, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because we haven't experienced it, not in our lifetime, we doubt that it will happen. Because we haven't done something amazing yet, we doubt that we could ever do that. But the thing is, it really all comes down to God. And if we're willing, like Mary, I believe that He is willing to use us to save those around us, to use us to influence those around us, to be able to win people for His kingdom, because that's what He does. He calls us to go and to make disciples, but too many of us saying, not me. Oh, I can't. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too busy. It's too late for me. I'm not good enough. We have all these excuses, right? Can we let God do what He wants to do in our lives? Can we just be willing and let Him figure out the issues with our weakness? Let Him figure out the issues with our age, with our experience or lack of experience, with the challenges that we face in our situation? Can we put those in His hand and say, Lord, look, I'm willing. I'm not sure what You can do through me. I'm not sure, you know, how this is all going to play out. But if You want to use me, I'm available. If You're going to call me, I'm here. If I'm to touch somebody, if I'm to reach out to someone, I'm willing to do it. But You have to help me. I'm sure that God is more than willing to use us to do incredible things. And the story of the birth of Jesus, and as the angel Gabriel shows up to Zacharias, and as he shows up to Mary, I think we can take a lesson from that. That God is willing to use us regardless of where we are. And it depends on our availability, because He provides the ability. And in this short podcast, I challenge you to make yourself available to God. A new year is just around the corner. Are you willing to let God do some amazing things through you? Are you willing to allow Him to come into your heart and clean it up and get rid of some things and place some new things in there and just put in you a desire for His word, for sharing, for helping? I mean, this could transform your life. Are you willing to do it? I hope that we all are. And I hope that we will ponder this and pray about this so that this new year coming up will really be an amazing year despite all the challenges, because we are willing to allow God to do what He wants to do, as the angel Gabriel said in verse 37 of Luke chapter 1, for with God, nothing will be impossible.